Hello and welcome to the Tao of June, living an inspired life. Today I'm actually driving down to Orlando, Florida. On my way, I'm going to stop by Pet Supermarket because I have my dog Weemy with me. He's a Shih Tzu Maltese mix. And I'm going to wash him because he's filthy. but let me back up a little bit. Little backstory. Sorry, I just had my second Red Bull, so I don't get drowsy while I drive. Oh, man. So back in April 19th, to be exact, a lady named Christina contacted me about her dog named Charlie. And Charlie is a Shih Tzu who her and her boyfriend, her partner, rescued here in Kennesaw, actually, back in 2015. So they've had this dog for about four years now. And when they first got her, she said that they don't know her history, but they think that she's been abused because she's very skittish, fearful, doesn't trust easily, and just has a lot of these quirks. So, however, she has bonded really strongly, has a strong bond with the boyfriend, Brandon. So the dad, Brandon, the new adopted dad, he has become her source of safety. So whenever she gets scared, whenever a leaf blows by and she gets scared, or thunder, because thunder scares her, she runs and finds him, and she wants, you know, she also gets protective over him. And Christina was telling me that has gotten better. She still gets a little bit that way, but, you know, when they first got her, for the first few years, it was like, you know, he had to warn people, like, don't pet her or you know, try to pet her while she's on me, because she gets really protective and defensive and, you know, gets kind of aggressive. So, where do I come in the picture, right? It's because they have been having a lot of issues, a lot of challenges and difficulty getting her groomed. And because she's a Shih Tzu, she has long hair, and it gets matted and tangled, and it does, you know, yeah, and she has to get regularly groomed because she has long hair. But she doesn't like it, and she tries to bite the clippers, and her boyfriend, so the dad, Brandon, who she trusts, she still doesn't like him to do it either. And he has been trying to get it done, and he's been doing a good job, but it's just getting harder and harder. And now 4 years later, it has gotten progressively worse. My apologies. There's a huge semi truck right beside me. So that's where I come in the picture. They found me on YouTube, and they saw some of my videos where I was grooming an aggressive dog, Harley, actually, the aggressive Yorkie, and some other Shih Tzu videos. And she was saying that it helped, but again, her boyfriend, the dad, Brandon, he's not a professional dog groomer. You know, he's grooming the dog because he has to. He feels like, and you know, the some groomers, she said, have had some groomers have had some success with her, but it's usually her face that they can't get done, because it's just dangerous, you know. Nobody wants to accidentally injure her eye or anything when she's, you know, spinning around or just being uncooperative with scissors or clippers around her face. So it is a very dangerous situation. And so you know, Brandon has been trying to get it done, but it gets to a point where he just, you know, he's freaked out, and, you know, the dog's freaked out, everybody's stressed, you know. So they contacted me back in April and asked if I would be willing to give it a try. And they would, you know, they would be willing to travel up to Atlanta. The thing is, I don't have a salon. I go to my clients' homes. I make house calls. And I have all my tools with me here in the car. And therefore, I suggested that instead of them coming up to Atlanta, I'll drive down to them. And because it would be in their own home, Charlie, it might help Charlie be a little less scared and fearful, because at least she's in her own home, she's in, you know, familiar territory, and she's hopefully more comfortable around her, you know, with her mom and her dad being there. And so that's where we are now. And that's why I'm driving down to Orlando today, because I really didn't have room on my schedule to just go down there, you know, at any time. And that's why, even though she contacted me back in April 19th, I checked my schedule, and we agreed that this would be the weekend that I would go down, because this weekend, you know, a lot of my clients are traveling because for the July weekend, you know, the 4th of July is this week, and so a lot of my clients are on vacation, or even if they're not going anywhere on vacation, they have other plans this weekend, and therefore this weekend I had free, and that's why I scheduled her 2 months ago for this weekend. And I've been anticipating it, it's been on my mind, and I made it very clear to Christina, even yesterday when we spoke on the phone again, I made it very clear, I may not be able to pull this off. You know, this, I mean, I do have Saturday and Sunday scheduled, 2 days, then I'm going to drive back on Monday because I have to go back to work, I have a client scheduled on Tuesday. However, back to the point, I have Saturday and Sunday wide open for Charlie, because 4 years of this huge obstacle when it comes to grooming has been getting progressively worse, and she has had 4 years to practice this behavior, and I'm not sure if just one, you know, a few hours or one day will be enough. I think the first day, so I have 4 steps to my grooming process. Step number one is build rapport, which I believe is the most important part of the groom, is building that rapport, establishing that trust between each other before I start to, you know, get into her intimate areas, her private parts, you know, her sensitive areas, her feet, her, you know, cleaning her ears. Before I start to really get invasive, physically, I you know, physically invade her personal space. Let's be real. It is what it is. Before I do that, I believe that it is so important to establish some rapport. It's like taking a lady out to eat, dinner and dancing before you pull a move on her. My goodness. So the build rapport part for me is the most important part of the groom, step one. And with the dog like Charlie, who knows how long that's going to take. It could take the whole weekend for her to even, you know, get comfortable enough for me to pet her. Who knows, with a dog like Charlie. So I don't know if I'm going to be able to actually get the groom done. That is my goal, of course. And it would, just to be honest, just to be frank with everyone, it would be huge for my ego to be able to get this dog groomed, quote unquote impossible dog to groom, and I get it done and she looks amazing and I get to put it on my Instagram and Facebook. I mean, that would be huge for my ego, just to be real. However, at what cost, right? I am not willing to sacrifice a dog's emotional and mental health, physical health even, because I, you know, she could possibly get injured. I'm not willing to risk that just for my own ego, just to stroke my own ego, you know, just to get a nice selfie or a nice picture on social media. It's not worth it. Now, physically, of course, I'm stronger than her, I'm bigger than her, I could get it done. I could physically force her and overpower her and get a groom done and make it look nice. I could do it. However, after it's done and I drive back to Atlanta, what then? The next time someone tries to groom her, she's going to be prepared for war. It's not going to make the situation any better. It's actually just going to make it worse. I would not have added any value to the situation. And that's why my goal is to go down and help. If I can get the groom complete and finished, that would be the cherry on top. But really the goal is to go down there and help. Assess the situation. See what the dog is really like around me. And see how much I can do to help the dog and Christina and Brandon, the couple that has adopted her. And Christina was saying, oh, I hope she doesn't embarrass us. I don't, you know, like, and I was telling her, no way. If anything, this shows your heart. This shows how big you and your boyfriend, you know, you and Brandon, like, this shows how much love and just care they have in their hearts for this dog that they adopted 4 years ago. They think she's about 8 years old. So this dog has lived half her life in what, who knows what kind of situation. They drove all the way up to Kennesaw, Georgia, to adopt her and give her a loving home, give her a second chance. And they've been working with all of her behavioral challenges and her personality quirks, and they've just been working around all of this to try to help her and give her a second shot at a good life. And you know, I was like, no, if she does behave badly or anything like that, that's not a reflection on you. That actually just shows how big of a heart you have, you know, how loving and caring you are, how accepting you are of this kind of behavior. They're not willing to give up. They're not willing to just give up on her. They're willing to do whatever it takes and try every option. And they contacted me, even, you know, a groomer here in Georgia, to drive down to help her, to try to see if I can help. This is amazing to me. And I really, what really got me, moved me to want to help these people, this couple, is because in the email, she was saying how, as she was describing all the challenges that they're having with her, she told me that it's to the point now where it keeps her up at night. Sometimes she has a hard time sleeping because she's so worried about this situation. And sometimes just bringing up the subject of grooming her causes arguments between her and Brandon. And so, it's like, wow, this is becoming a real situation, a real challenge and an obstacle in their relationship. And Thomas Jefferson says, when you see something wrong, if you have the ability to help, then you also have the responsibility to. And I really, that really hits me hard, and it resonates with me. I believe that's true. I believe Thomas Jefferson was right. When we see a problem and we know we can help, if we know we have the ability to help, then we also have the responsibility, right? And I'm not sure if I can actually get the groom done, but I know I can help this situation. I am uniquely qualified for this. I've been grooming dogs like her and challenging dogs for the past 9 years. That's pretty much how I got started. grooming my aunt's Cocker Spaniel. Well, it's my cousin's now, but my cousin's Cocker Spaniel, Oreo. That was my first video that I did. I groomed her in their garage, and I mean, it was pretty rough, but I got it done. Even with no experience that I had, now 9 years later, and actually having a lot more experience, going to different workshops, learning more about the skinning code, I'm a much better groomer. And I'm much more qualified now. And I really want to go and help, because I feel like it's not even about the money or the recognition or anything. It's about trying to make a difference in other people's lives. About trying to make a real difference, an impact on just a few people. On just a few. Just like Seth Godin says. Seth Godin, I really listened to this book, The Icarus Deception. And the Icarus Deception is the story of Icarus and Daedalus, I believe, his father, when they're stranded on an island. Daedalus makes a pair of wings for Icarus and tells him, as the story goes, he tells his son, do not fly close to the sun, too close to the sun, because the wax will melt and the wings will burn up and you'll die. But the thing is, Seth Godin was saying that the part that everyone leaves out, and the most important part, is the second part, where he tells him, but also do not fly too low, because then the wings will get wet from the water, and it'll weigh them down. You'll sink. You'll fall into the ocean and sink. So, but everybody leaves the second part out. Don't fly too low. They always just stress the part, don't fly too high, because that's the way industries and leaders of big organizations keep everybody in line. They don't want anybody to fly too high. They don't want anyone to have that hubris, is what Seth Godin says, but the audacity to try something new and fly as high as you can and spread your wings. And, you know, people discourage that. And it's been ingrained in our minds not to try to accomplish everything we can, not to try to stretch and you know, see what we're really capable of. Don't do that, because if you fly too high, the sun will burn you up, or others will take aim at you. You become a target, and there are people going to shoot you down. And that's what we believe in, so we're scared to try to fly. But the thing is, the second part is more important. Don't fly too low, because the water will start to weigh you down. The wings will get too wet, and you'll sink. So Seth Godin is saying, fly high as you can. Fly towards the sun, as close to the sun as you possibly can. Because the bigger danger is when you fly too low. That being said, he describes what an artist is in that book. And an artist is somebody who has the courage to say, this might not work, but it means enough to me to give it a try. And the work has to be generous in nature. It has to have that element of risk. This might not work. People might not like this, but I have to do it anyway, because it's in my heart to do. And the second thing is, it has to have an element of generosity. It must be generous in nature. So that's why I believe that what I'm doing this weekend, I consider it art, because it might not work, you know, and people might not like what they see when I show the video. And yeah, there's a big risk to this factor. Things might not work out. but I have to try. I believe that it's worth an honest shot to try to give this dog a better life. And so for me, it's worth it. And even though my mom even was telling me last night, you're not even charging enough to cover gas, because they sent me $150 through PayPal. And I was telling my mom, but it's not about the money. It's not, I was happy to do it even if they didn't pay me anything. For me, it's not about the money. It's about making an impact. It's about doing something with my time here on Earth that might mean something to someone, that might touch someone. And so, for me, it's not about the money at all. So the nature, it's generous, and this task, this mission that I'm on to this weekend, it's generous in nature, and there is an element of risk. This might not work out. And that's why I believe it's art, and I'm an artist. And that, to me, gives me such a feeling of purpose, you know? It fills me with a sense of pride. And I feel like life is worth living when I'm doing things like this, to help others. Living my life in a way that may impact someone else in a positive way. Not the masses, you know, not everyone, just a few, those, the few that it really matters to, just those. Seth Godin also talks about the example of why it's better to make a bigger impact, the biggest impact you can make on the few, rather than making a mediocre impact on the masses. The example that he gives is Beverly Hillbillies versus Star Trek. Star Trek, the original Star Trek, got canceled in its third season due to low ratings. Can you believe that? In the 70s, Star Trek was canceled in its third season due to low ratings. At the same time, Beverly Hillbillies was topping the charts. They were top three, top, you know, they're either one, you know, first, second, or third for, what was it, like 8 years straight. But the thing is, fast forward to today, 2019, how many people talk about the Beverly Hillbillies? You know, maybe just us right now, you who's listening, you know, and the only reason why I bring it up is because Seth Godin brought it up in an example. Nobody talks about the Beverly Hillbillies. Because even though they were topping the charts, it was a fad. It was just trendy. It was gimmicky. It was just for laughs. And it made a mediocre impact on the masses. Star Trek, however, although it was canceled due to low ratings, the few who watched it, it made such a big impact on that now, in 2019, next month, in July, Comic-Con is coming to Atlanta. I can guarantee you there's going to be thousands of Trekkies there. It's a subculture now. It's an entire group. Millions of people around the world are Star Trek fans. They consider themselves Trekkies. And people dress up like Spock and, you know, like it's like a Klingon and all this stuff. The thing is, and there's so many different spin-offs of Star Trek now. Movies. Why? Because Star Trek made a huge impact on the few who watched it, rather than trying to make a mediocre impact on the masses. They weren't trying to stay in top three in the ratings charts. They were trying to be the top of somebody's mind. Something that after they watch an episode, it made such an impact on the viewer that it stayed on their mind and it touched their hearts. That's why Star Trek is what it is now, and Beverly Hillbillies is just a passing fad. So I that really encouraged me when I heard that from Seth Godin. It's like, yeah, he's right. It's the truth. Rather than try to gain a bunch of subscribers and, you know, a million subscribers and all this stuff, rather than trying to do that, make a mediocre impact on the masses just for laughs and giggles and, you know, trendy. Who cares about all that? I want to make a huge impact on this couple this weekend, Christina and Brandon, on just a few to who it would really matter to, you know? If I can actually help them with this situation and give them practical solution, and when I drive back home knowing that they now have hope, rather than feeling helpless and hopeless, I've given them help, I've offered them help, and I've given them hope. That to me would not only make me feel like I have a purpose here on earth, but it would make me feel so fulfilled and so happy, knowing that I, with my two hands, I created a moment of joy and happiness for that couple to enjoy with their dog this weekend. And that to me is incredible that I have an opportunity to do that. Christina was telling me, thank you so much. We were getting off the phone yesterday. I was telling her, no, thank you for asking me to help. It's a privilege to be called to help. It's an honor. I really appreciate it. I really appreciate this opportunity. Oh man, literally, this is what I've always wanted. I've always wanted to feel like I inspire people, to feel like an inspiration. I've always wanted to feel accepted and needed, you know, like I'm necessary and I'm helpful. This is what I've always wanted, you know? I have often dreamed of a far-off place where a great warm welcome will be waiting for me, and the crowds will cheer when they see my face, and a voice keeps saying, this is where I'm meant to be. I am on my way. I can go the distance. I'll be there someday. If I can be strong, I know every mile will be worth my while. I will go most anywhere to find where I belong. I probably just ruined this podcast, but I don't care. I don't care. My life is pretty much a Disney songs running through my head, my, you know, 24/7. That's my life. Oh man, but anyways, if that bothered anyone, I'm sorry. It just felt like, wow, perfect opportunity to just stick a Disney song right in there. But oh man, it really is, this is what I've always dreamed of, and I know that every single mile is going to be worth my while. Whether I get this room done or not, I'm going to learn something. I'm going to gain something from this experience. And when I start my grooming school in Atlanta, maybe 10 years from now, who knows? But when I finally open up my grooming school, this is going to be another experience that I can share with my students and share the valuable lessons that I'm going to gain from this weekend. I have no idea what's going to happen, but I know that I'm going to learn something from it, whatever does happen. And the things that I learn, the valuable gems that I extract from this experience this weekend, I'm going to be able to share it with my students, you know, in the future. And so, yeah, this is all so valuable to me. Even though others may think I'm crazy for doing this, like, you're barely charging enough to cover the gas for the trip, you know, like, you're spending your own money. What is this all for? You know, is getting attention on social media that important to you? You know, all these, you know, questions and doubters. Like, no, this is not about that. This is not about gaining anything. This is about giving. It's not about what you get. Jim Rohn says the big question on the job is not, what am I getting here? That's not the question we should ask. The big question we should ask is, what am I becoming here? What is this making of me? That's the real question. And I believe that is true. I'm not worried about what I'm going to get out of this. What I'm focusing on is, what am I becoming here with this, you know, what will this experience make of me? Who am I becoming by doing this? I'm becoming somebody who is helpful, who is an artist, creating art, creating moments of joy and happiness for people, and giving hope when people feel hopeless. Helping when people feel helpless. This is who I'm becoming. This is what matters to me. It doesn't matter about recognition or fame or money or any material thing that I can gain. It's not about that. It's not about anything tangible. It's about the intangible things that really matter. It's about being aware of why we're really here on Earth. Am I here just to accumulate things? You know, just to hoard all the money and material wealth that I can hoard? Just pile it all up somewhere? For what? To leave it all behind when I leave? That seems pointless. I believe that the reason why I'm here is to gather experiences, as many meaningful experiences as I can, and take them with me when my time here is done. I honor the light in you that is also in me. Namaste.